day, everyone, and welcome to LATAM Airlines Group Earnings Release Conference Call. Just as a reminder, this conference is being recorded. LATAM Airlines Group Earnings Release for the period was distributed on Tuesday, March 3rd. If you have not received it, you can find it in our website at www.latamairlinesgroup.net in the Investor Relations section. At this time, I would like to point out that statements regarding the company's business outlook and anticipated financial and operating results constitute forward-looking comments. These expectations are highly dependent on the economy, the airline industry, and the international markets. Therefore, they are subject to change. Now, it is my pleasure to turn the call over to Mr. Ramiro Alfonsín, Chief Financial Officer of LATAM Airlines Group. Mr. Alfonsín, please begin.
Thank you, Carmen, and good morning, everyone, and welcome to LATAM Airlines' fourth quarter earnings call. Joining me today are Mr. Roberto Albo, Chief Commercial Officer, Mr. Jerome Cadier, CEO of LATAM Airlines Brazil, and Mr. Andres Del Valle, VP of Corporate Finance. Please join me on slide 2, where you will find the highlights for the full year 2019. We quickly reacted to growth opportunities in the region after the cease of operations of some airlines in the region. As a consequence, we grew in ASKs by 4.1%, and during 2019, LATAM carried 74 million passengers, the highest number in our history, and more than 5 million additional passengers, half of them in Brazil, compared to 2018. This represented more growth than any other airline in the region. In addition to growth, we continued improving two main pillars where we put a special attention: our operations and our customers. Regarding our operations, we improved the capillarity of our network, especially from our hubs in Santiago, Lima, and São Paulo. At the same time, we put a special focus on the reliability of our operations. We are proud to be named the most punctual airline in the world in the mega carrier category by AOG and by Cirium, with approximately 86% of our flights being on time. In 2019, we have also been recognized as the most punctual airline in Brazil. CASK ex-fuel remains stable at 4.5 cents, despite challenges and the effects of the social unrest in the region, in particular in Chile. Growing in shorter routes and cutting capacity in longer routes, mainly those from Argentina early in the year due to the devaluation of the peso, reduced our average stage length by 3% for the year, diluting fixed cost per flight in fewer ASKs. In addition, the grounding of the Boeing 787 took longer than anticipated, and we had an average of 3 aircraft on ground during 2019 due to engine delays, which we expect to recover by the second quarter 2020. On the other hand, currencies devaluation helped us to offset part of these effects, and we remained stable in CASK ex-fuel during the whole 2019 compared to 2018. Regarding customers, we executed a strategic investments to better serve our passengers and improve their travel experience. During 2019, we invested in our passengers as never before. We acquired Multiplus and relaunched our now unified frequent flyer program under the LATAM Pass brand, becoming the fourth largest frequent flyer program in the world. We launched the first planes with our new cabins, designed to offer an industry-leading onboard experience and to better serve different types of passengers. We currently have 67 aircraft retrofitted of the 170 we are targeting in this phase, and that will be concluded by the end of this year, 2020. In addition, we launched our new business service and the premium economy service that later Andres will detail. As a result, our passengers recognize us with several awards, such as the Best Airline in South America by Skytrax World Airline Awards and the Best Global Airline of South America, according to the Apex Passenger Choice Awards, among others. In synthesis, during 2019, we improved our network, we improved our operations, and our customer service, and further strengthened our position as the leading airline in the region and one of the main airline groups in the world. As previously announced, LATAM will leave the One World Alliance on May 1st, 2020, but will maintain the existing bilateral agreements with all of the One World members with the exception of American Airlines, and will continue to offer customer benefits such as earning and redeeming of miles, reciprocal lounge access, among other benefits. We are happy to report a net income of $190 million for the full year 2019. For the third year in a row, we increased our total revenues, reaching more than $10.4 billion. Once again, this revenue increase was driven by our passenger operations, which increased 3.4% year over year. Once again, we generated over $1 billion in free cash flow, despite the one-time investments in multiples and the investments we are carrying out by upgrading our cabins of the 170 planes. In 2020, we will finish the retrofit of all these cabins. This cash flow generation allowed us to reduce our financial debt during the year and reach a leverage of 4.0 times as of December 2019, while maintaining a healthy liquidity position of approximately 20%. We further reduced fleet commitments for the following years, which will give us even more financial flexibility for the upcoming years. The agreement with Delta, announced last September, is a recognition of the footprint that LATAM has in the region, and we are excited about the benefits that this strategic agreement will bring to our shareholders, customers, and employees. Delta is currently a shareholder of LATAM after successfully completing the tender offer of 20% of the shares of LATAM. In addition, our affiliates in Colombia, Peru, and Ecuador implemented new co-shares agreements with Delta. We have already announced co-shares in Brazil to be implemented starting in the first half of this year, and we expect to announce co-shares in Chile also during the first half of 2020. We also signed a loyalty program agreement that will enable reciprocal frequent flyer benefits starting April 1st, 2020 with Delta. LATAM Pass members will be able to earn and redeem miles on Delta flights to more than 300 destinations worldwide. We already reallocated our flights to JFK from Terminal 8 to Terminal 4 to better serve passengers connecting with Delta flights. We could not be happier with all these achievements, and we want to thank our employees for the efforts during this year. Together, we solidified LATAM's position in the region, and we improved our competitiveness. Before turning the call to Andres for more detail in the fourth quarter, we would like to thank our customers for their continued support and express our commitment to providing the best travel experience and connectivity in Latin America. The recent outbreak of coronavirus doesn't have us indifferent. We are following it closely, monitoring constantly its evolution and working closely with health authorities. Our crews and ground staff are prepared to handle situations of this nature. For us, the most important is the safety of our passengers and crews, and therefore, we suspended our flight from São Paulo to Milan until April 16. In addition, we have frozen all non-essential hiring and discretionary expenses and investments. With that, I would like to turn the call to Andres Del Valle, our VP of Corporate Finance, to analyze the fourth quarter in more detail.
Thank you, Ramiro, and good morning, everyone. Please turn to slide 3, where you will find a summary of the income statement. Total revenues of the company reached $2.9 billion in the fourth quarter, representing an increase of 3% year over year. Capacity grew 3.2% in the quarter, while revenues per ASK grew by 3.1% in dollar terms as a result of a healthy domestic Brazilian market and a recovery in international unit revenues. As a result, total passenger revenues rose 6.5%. Cargo revenues decreased by 10.3% year over year, in line with the previous quarter, due to the sale of a former cargo subsidiary in Mexico, Macer, and lower imports into the region and disruptions caused by the events in Chile. Other revenues increased 24% to $113 million, explained by the merger of Multiplus with LATAM Airlines in Brazil. Multiplus's revenues are now recognized under passenger revenues, same as the revenues of the loyalty program LATAM Pass. Total costs increased by 3.1% in the quarter to $2.5 million, and as a result, our operating income for the quarter amounted to $350 million. This is 2% higher than last year's operating results, while operating margin reached 12.2%. Net income amounted to $227 million in the fourth quarter. This is a decline of $163 million versus last year, mainly explained by the $222 million decline in foreign exchange gain year over year. Looking at full year figures on the right side of the slide, revenues rose 0.6% to $10.4 billion, while costs grew by 2% due to an increase of 4.1% in capacity, resulting in a decline of 1.8% in cost per ASK. With that, operating income for the year was $742 million and operating margin 7.1%, in line with our previous guidance. Lastly, our net income amounted to $190 million for the full year 2019. Please turn to slide 4. Looking at the different business units, you can see that international unit revenues are showing a recovery year over year. This is a result of the active capacity management of the company. International segment represented approximately 51% of our total ASKs in the quarter, down from 54% in the previous quarter as a result of the 5% decrease in capacity during the fourth quarter. Traffic declined by 5.2%, and load factor rose 0.2 percentage points to 83.2%. Revenues per ASKs were 6 cents, which is 4.6% higher than the same quarter of last year. Looking at the domestic Brazil operations, which represent 30% of the total ASK, total capacity increased by 17.7% and traffic by 20%. Load factor reached 85.2%. This is 1.7 percentage points higher above the fourth quarter of 2018. LATAM Airlines Brazil leased 14 aircraft previously operated by Avianca Brazil at the beginning of the year, accelerating in that manner its growth compared with the first half of the year, mainly by operating the slots obtained after the exit of Avianca Brazil. In addition, the continued recovery of Brazilian domestic demand drove revenues per ASKs growth of 13% in local currency and 6% growth in US dollar terms, reaching 7.1 cents in the quarter. In Spanish-speaking countries' domestic operations, which altogether represent 19% of the total passenger capacity, capacity rose 9%, while traffic grew 3.8% and load factor reached 78.3%. This is almost 4 points lower than the same quarter 2018, affected by the social unrest in Chile. Excluding Chilean operations, capacity rose 13% and traffic rose 12%, which is a load factor of 82%. Revenues per ASK declined by 4.7% through the quarter, mainly due to the devaluation of local currencies. Excluding foreign exchange effects, revenues per ASK would have grown 5% in Spanish-speaking countries' domestic operations. As a result, overall passenger capacity grew by 3.2% year-over-year this quarter. Revenues per ASK rose 3.1% year-over-year, and load factor remained relatively stable at 83%. Lastly, if we exclude the effect of our former Mexican subsidiary, our cargo operations increased capacity by 0.6%, while traffic declined 0.6%. We saw a decline of 0.7 percentage points in load factor to 56.4%. Revenues per ASK declined by 8.7% in the fourth quarter, mainly driven by lower imports into the region, especially to Brazil and Argentina, and disruptions generated by the social unrest in Chile during the fourth quarter of 2019. Please turn to slide number 5. Once again, I'm showing this slide so that you can track the main changes by point of sale of the passenger and cargo revenues in the past 12 months. On the left side, you can see the revenues by point of sale in 2018. Here, Brazil represented approximately 35% of total revenues, while Argentina represented 10% of its revenues. If you move to the graph to the right, which reflects the revenues by country for the same period in 2019, we can see a 4-point increase for Brazil, while Argentina declined 4 points, accounting for only 6% as a point of sale. This diversification allows us to adjust our operations and to offset the impacts that we may face in certain markets. Please turn now to slide number six. As Ramiro said, we maintain our cost per ASK ex-fuel despite the operational challenges we faced during the year, such as adjustments to the international network, social and western region, and an average of 3.787 aircraft on ground during the year. At the top of the slide, you can see that LATAM today continues to expand its operations and transport more passengers. We carried almost 20 million passengers in the fourth quarter and reduced number of employees per aircraft compared to last year. Fuel costs decreased by 10.6% due to decline of 14% in fuel price per gallon, offset by a 3% increase in fuel consumption in line with the capacity increases. Costs associated with wages and benefits declined by 5.7% in fourth quarter 2019, mainly explained by the devaluation of the local currencies. If you look at the fleet costs, which includes maintenance, depreciation, and amortization expenses, those were up around $100 million year over year in the quarter, mainly due to the addition of 29 aircraft in our fleet during the year, half of them in Brazil. Lastly, other costs on this slide increased 12% as we carried 9.4% more passengers year over year, high airport rates, and non-recurrent discontinuous reversal in fourth quarter 2018. As a result, cost per ASK declined by 0.1% to 6.6 cents, while cost per ASK ex-fuel increased by 6.7% year over year to 4.6 cents. After the full year 2019, cost per ASK declined by 1.8%, and CAS ex-fuel remains stable at 4.5 cents. Please turn to slide number seven. During the year, we have made important progress with the fleet commitment schedule. We have now further reduced by $1.1 billion the fleet commitments to be delivered between 2020 and 2022. This is equivalent to a 38% reduction of fleet commitments for this three-year period. We believe that this plan gives us the necessary flexibility to adapt our goal to different market conditions and allows us to continue improving cash flow after investments, helping us maintain control of our debt profile and a healthy liquidity level. Please turn to slide number eight. As Ramiro said, LATAM has never invested more in its passengers than in the last year in 2019. We began with the upgrade of the cabins of our fleet, and we are already flying 67 aircraft with the new cabins, leading to significant improvement in customer satisfaction. We have also deployed a self-pack drop system at six airports and have inaugurated our VIP lounge in Miami, all contributing to improved customer satisfaction through different stages of the journey. During 2019, we also launched a new basic economy class to give more options to our passengers, and in March 2020, we will become the only airline in the region with a premium economy service in all its international and domestic flights. This new premium service consists in a differentiated service at airports, such as access to VIP lounges, priority check-in and boarding, as well as differentiated onboard service, such as a middle seat block for more comfort and privacy, differentiated catering service, and exclusive overhead bins for the luggage. We have invested in our passengers, and we will continue to do so without increasing our debt, as you can see in the next slide. Turning to slide number nine, our gross debt declined by $292 million from the previous quarter to $7.2 billion. Thus, our leverage was down to 4 times in December from 4.2 times in September. We continue having a very good liquidity position with $1.5 billion of cash on hand, plus a revolving credit facility of $600 million in the fourth quarter, which is completely undrawn. With this, LATAM's liquidity position reached 20% of last 12 months' revenue. Moving on to our hedges, at the bottom left, you can find our updated fuel hedge position as of today. For the fourth quarter of 2019, we hedged approximately 56% of our total consumption. For this year, we have a good portion hedge for the first half, with 65% and 81% respectively, Q1 and Q2, that is, while for the third quarter, we currently have 49% of consumption hedge. Finally, on slide 10, regarding guidance, we are not changing the guidance provided in December of last year. We expect total capacity to grow between 3 to 5% this year. This is composed by a 0 to 2% target for international business, 7 to 9% growth for domestic Brazil, and 6 to 8% for domestic Spanish-speaking countries operations. We are also expecting cargo capacity to increase between 4 to 6% this year. And with that, we conclude the presentation for today, and we'll be happy to open the line for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, just press star then one on your telephone keypad. To withdraw your question, press the pound key. Again, to get in the queue, just press star then one. And our first question comes from Michael Linenberg with Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is actually Kate on for Mike. We were wondering, though, if you could just talk about any more changes that you might make to, like, your route network in response to Corona, just in addition to Milan, if there's any other regions that you're particularly concerned about or watching closely.
Yes, hi, this is Roberto. So at this point in time, we only have made a change in Milan. We are very closely monitoring trends in traffic. We don't see an impact on domestic markets at this point in time in any of the countries where we operate. However, we are starting to see certain softness in demand on international routes, partly due to changes in policy travel rules from companies in general. But at this point in time, we are in the process of just looking very carefully how this develops in the next few weeks.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Savi Syth with Raymond James.
Hey, good morning. Just kind of curious, you know, Colombia kind of plan to kind of grow your corporate share. You know, what's kind of the latest development there? And just in this kind of current environment with, you know, the commodity uncertainty, FX uncertainty, kind of is this kind of more of an opportunity, or are you kind of scaling back your plans there?
Hi, Savi. This is Roberto. So just to remind everyone, we launched a plan to grow in Colombia. We increased our operations as of July 1st, 2019, focused mostly on corporate markets in Colombia. As I explained in the last conference call, we are satisfied with the current outcome of this first stage of the plan. Given the macroeconomic situation in Colombia, particularly the devaluation last year, we decided to pause our growth for a few months, and at this point in time, we are at that stage. But we're looking at the developments very closely, and we're satisfied with what we have achieved in the last 7 months.
Okay. And then if I might, just on domestic Brazil, you know, one of your competitors have been kind of sounding concerned about capacity growth levels. Just, and you know, you just kind of finished a strong 4Q, but now you're starting to lap maybe some of the Avianca Brazil, you know, capacity pullouts. Just any updated thoughts on kind of what you're seeing here in 1Q and kind of thoughts on capacity in 2Q?
Yes. So first semester capacity will grow double digits as compared to first semester last year, and this is basically because of the incorporation of the 14 aircraft that Andreas made reference to. We have at this point in time no plans of increasing our capacity in terms of number of aircraft further than that. So you will see a gradual decline in growth in the second half, basically because of the base of second half of last year.
And are you still seeing kind of double-digit RASK increases on a, kind of on a local currency basis here in the first quarter, or are we starting to see that moderate?
Well, we see healthy RASKs in the first quarter, but it's starting to compare to the base of last year, so it's not a double-digit increase at this point in time.
Okay. That makes sense. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Matthew Wisniewski with Barclays.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. I wanted to just talk about cash flows. You know, expectations of margins are roughly flat. CapEx steps down materially this year, I think $400 million on aircraft from over $1 billion last year. You know, what, you know, given that it should produce pretty healthy cash flows this year, you know, what else could impact kind of cash flows, which should we keep in mind? And then as a kind of a second question, what can you kind of revisit what cash flow priorities are if cash, you know, does inflect higher this year? Could we see dividends or, you know, deleveraging further? Any color on that would be great. Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew. Well, you're right. We are reducing compared to 2019 our fleet commitments and therefore our fleet capex from $1 billion to maybe $400 million. And some of these aircraft will probably be arranged through sale and leaseback, so they will not be considered capex and will be financed. However, the company is still carrying on significant non-fleet investments. We are concluding our retrofit of the cabins, so that is requiring cash flow this year. There are a lot of engine repairs that are included in the non-fleet capex, and we're targeting a non-fleet capex of approximately $1 billion this year, which is similar to the one that we had in 2019. Regarding priorities, our main two priorities, besides the engine repairs that are mandatory for our recurrent operations, The main two projects, I would say, are the retrofitting of the cabins and our investments in IT. We're improving our digital IT services to our customers, and those are the two main priorities.
Okay, great. That's all for me. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Bruno Amorim with Goldman Sachs.
Hi, good morning, everyone. So I just have a follow-up question on the unit revenue perspectives in Brazil. You have mentioned that you are seeing a deceleration in the pace of growth in unit revenue in the first quarter. And so if you are not taking capacity out of the market, this means that, you know, the market as a whole will likely face a much tougher comparison base in terms of year-on-year variation of ASKs of capacity in the second quarter. And since you are already in the single-digit level for unit revenue growth in the first quarter, is it possible for us to see, you know, negative year-on-year variation in unit revenue in the second quarter? Any indication you could provide at this point? Thank you very much.
Hi, Bruno. This is Roberto. Just to clarify, we are not taking out capacity. What I was trying to explain is that the incorporation of the 14 aircraft happened around last year. And therefore, what you will see is a high growth in the first half as compared to the first half of last year because of the lower base. And that gap will start to shrink as the year continues because we will have already the impact of those 14 aircraft. We had it in the second semester of 2019. So capacity will still be positive. And our guidance, as was explained, is 7 to 9% for domestic Brazil in the year as a whole. Okay? So yields have improved, as I said, as compared to last year in the first quarter. And the comparison in the second quarter, we'll still see and also how the market develops. The only point of consideration is that yield base also increased significantly last year because by the time of the second quarter, Avianca has mostly ceased its operation.
Yeah, so that was my concern because, you know, there was a big, you know, jump in yield seasonally adjusted in the second quarter last year. And then with the much tougher comparison basis, you know, do you have any indication if it could be, you know, negative year in the second quarter or is it still too early to say?
I think it's too early to say. However, I think that if you put everything together, our expectation for yields or RASK, if you want, for the whole year, would be in the range of stability as compared to what we saw in 2019.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Roberta Versiani with Citibank.
Hi, good morning. Just a quick question. If you have had recent conversations with Copa Airlines regarding that career's future with Latin. Thank you.
Thank you, Roberta. No, we have not had management conversations with Qatar, other than the recurrent business conversations.
Okay, thank you.
No problem.
Thank you. And our next question comes from Joe Kogan with Scotiabank.
Hello, and thank you for the call. I wanted to ask another question about coronavirus. I know it's still very early and there's not very much information, but I was wondering if you could help us get a sense of how large the impact could be in different scenarios. I mean, are there any historical precedents for something like this you would use in your analysis of figuring out what the traffic impact is? Are you considering some bad scenarios or good scenarios? I'm just trying to understand order of magnitude. I mean, would the impact on traffic be 5% or 50% is really the thrust of the question.
Yes. Hi, Joel. First, I'm not sure that any of the precedents before would serve as an example. Both MERS and SARS had very little effect in Latin America when those happened. However, swine flu that started in Mexico two decades ago, 15 years ago, had a slightly bigger effect, and traffics were double-digit impacted at the time. Honestly, can't remember exactly the figures. I'm not sure that this is a good point of comparison with whatever can happen this year. However, what I can tell you is we have very little traffic coming and going from and to Asia, so the impact in Southeast Asia and Asia in general is relatively limited in terms of our exposure. In Europe, we fly to certain cities, several eight cities. We've seen the impact mostly in Milan. We are not seeing anything too significant yet in other countries in Europe, and we do not fly to Iran either, which is another country where there is a significant number of cases. So it's very hard to foretell, to be totally honest. What I can tell you is that we're following this very closely, and as Ramiro explained, we took the measures in terms of freezing non-essential hiring, non-essential expenses, and non-essential investments just to be on the safe side with respect to this.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, to ask a question, just press star, then one on your telephone keypad. And our next question is from Savi Seth with Raymond James.
Hey, thanks for the follow-up. I want to ask a little bit about Brazil. I know it takes time to change perceptions, but you've kind of implemented this new onboard experience, and you are kind of retrofitting the fleet. Any early observations on what you're seeing as a result of those changes?
Hi, Savi, again. So we will launch Premium Economy in all domestic markets on March 16th. So it hasn't started.
Okay.
So maybe on next quarter we can provide some color on how this is going. However, we believe that we will have a premium product. We actually not believe. We will be the only airline that will have a premium product in most Latin American markets. We believe that this will distinguish us from our competition, and we expect that this will be very well taken with our customers.
Does that help you in the very near term with your kind of corporate discussions, or is that something that kind of develops over time?
Sorry, Savvy, does it help on what type of discussion?
Just wondering if that helps you with your corporate account discussions and getting
yes.
market share immediately, or is it something that, you know, perception changes and over time you expect the revenue benefits?
Now, Savvy, this is Jerome from Brazil. We have already seen some positive results regarding market share with corporate agencies, given that we're offering a better product that will be even better after March 15. So we have seen positive results and are excited about what's coming up.
Got it. Thanks, Jerome. And then just one clarification on the hedging. You know, you have some good hedge positions, but curious at what level you've hedged given the sharp pullback in fuel prices here.
Yeah, the hedges were taken high, Savendres here. We're taken, of course, slightly above the current levels. So at today's prices, we have expected that today's price is a negative compensation, which is in a way it's we will benefit from the downside of our fuel, given that we don't use, swaps. We use limited instruments for the most part.
Okay.
So I think it's a negative effect for now. I think the market changed in 2 weeks here, but it's slightly under the water, the hedges.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our Q&A session and program for today. Thank you again for joining us. please feel free to contact our Investor Relations Department if you have any additional questions. We look forward to speaking with you again soon.